Hi everyone, and welcome to our Safeguard Ed, providing excellence in professional development for enhanced safeguarding, brought to you by Eastern Learning Alliance. My name is Mel Newbury and I'm one of the senior leads within the Trust. Today I'm joined by our Deputy CEO Ryan Kelsall. Today's podcast is all about the Prevent Duty and how schools can ensure compliancy. Good morning, Ryan. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. I would like to get an introduction to the Prevent Duty and how schools can ensure compliancy. Are you ready to begin?
Yeah, I am, and good morning. Thank you for having me. And firstly, can I say a thank you to everyone for joining and listening to our podcast.
Let's start with the basics. Can you explain to our audience what the Prevent Duty is, especially in relation to schools?
So the Prevent Duty is a legal obligation that requires schools and other educational institutions to take steps to identify and prevent individuals from being drawn into terrorism or extremist activities. It's part of the UK government's wider counter-terrorism strategy, and schools play a crucial role in identifying potential signs of radicalisation and ensuring the safety and well-being of their students.
Okay, thank you for that explanation. So some of the key words I'm picking out from that is counter-terrorism strategy, terrorism, extremist activities, and the role school plays in identifying potential signs?
Yes, that's correct. The key terms are really important for all of us to know. So when I talk about the UK government's counter-terrorism strategy, this is known as CONTEST, and it has four key pillars.
Yes, and those four key pillars are the four Ps, right?
That's correct. So pursue, to stop terrorist attacks; prevent, to stop people from becoming terrorists or supporting terrorism; protect, to strengthen our protection against a terrorist attack; and prepare, to mitigate the impact of a terrorist attack.
Okay, and terrorism is being involved in a violent act that is meant to create fear or coerce a population for political, religious or ideological purposes.
Yes, in a nutshell, that's it. The Terrorism Act from 2000 defines terrorism as the use of or threat of serious violence against a person, serious damage to property, endangering a person's life other than that of a person committing the action, creating a serious risk to the health and safety of the public or a section of the public, and an action designed to seriously interfere with or seriously disrupt an electronic system. And then it goes on to say, where one of these actions is used, it is designed to influence the government or an international governmental organisation or to intimidate the public. The use or threat must also be for the purpose of advancing a political, religious, racial or ideological cause. And then that links into the government's definition of extremism, which is the vocal or active opposition to our fundamental values, including democracy, the rule of law, individual liberty and the mutual respect and tolerance of different faiths and beliefs. We also regard calls for death of members of our armed forces as extremist.
It's really beneficial to hear an overview of the key terms. It's a heavy topic with a lot of information to take in. With that in mind, what are some of the key things schools need to know in order to be compliant with the Prevent Duty?
So the Prevent Duty is the main area for schools to be aware of, and schools need to be able to identify the signs and indicators of radicalisation as well as the risk factors associated with it. It's crucial that teachers, support staff and even students are trained on how to identify these signs. They should also have procedures in place for reporting concerns and appropriately responding to them. Engaging the wider school community, such as parents and governors, is also an important aspect to ensure there's a collective effort in promoting a safe and inclusive environment in a school.
Okay, so in terms of practical application and being a staff member in a school, what signs or indicators should I be vigilant about?
Well, the signs can manifest themselves in various ways, such as changes in behaviour, expressing extremist views, or exhibiting withdrawal from friends and normal activities. For instance, a sudden shift in a student's beliefs, a noticeable increase in online activity related to extremist ideologies, or even a significant change in appearance can be an indicator. It's crucial for schools to foster an environment where staff and students are trained to recognise and report these signs promptly.
You previously mentioned the importance of a safe and inclusive environment. In terms of implementation, how can schools effectively put measures into practice?
So schools could begin by conducting risk assessments to identify vulnerabilities and areas that require improvement. A risk assessment should consider factors such as geographical location, student demographics, and community dynamics. Vulnerabilities may lie in a lack of awareness, gaps in staff training, or specific issues prevalent in the community. By identifying these vulnerabilities, schools can tailor their approach, allocating resources effectively and implementing targeted interventions. This ensures a more nuanced and responsive strategy to meet the unique challenges that each school may face. It also helps to formulate a tailored approach to implementing the prevent duty. It's important to establish clear channels of communication with external agencies, such as the local authority and the police, to access support and guidance when needed. Regular staff training, workshops, discussions are also effective methods to enhance staff's understanding and awareness.
Fostering an inclusive and respectful environment can encourage open dialogue and understanding among students with diverse backgrounds and beliefs. I can see how in turn this would provoke values of tolerance, respect and acceptance within a school community.
Exactly that. You have to create a safe and inclusive environment while fulfilling the obligations under the prevent duty.
Okay. And as a deputy CEO of a multi-academy trust, what role do you play in ensuring that all the schools within your trust are compliant with the prevent duty?
Well, as deputy CEO, my role is to provide leadership guidance and support to all schools within the trust. And in relation to this, particularly in relation to safeguarding, which is where prevent sits. I work closely with school leaders, offering strategic advice and sharing best practice, and I support them when challenging situations arise. It's important to create a culture of vigilance and awareness, embedding those preventative measures within the overall safeguarding policies and practices of the trust. One of the key things that I do is regular monitoring and evaluation with other trust leaders in schools to ensure that we are compliant.
Thank you for explaining your role in this. Lastly, do you have any advice or resources that you can recommend to schools that are seeking to improve their compliance with the prevent duty?
Absolutely. Schools should make use of resources provided by local authorities and the Department for Education to stay up to date with guidance and best practice. There are also training programmes and workshops available which can support schools in implementing the prevent duty effectively. Additionally, engaging with other schools, both within the trust and externally, can provide opportunities for shared learning and collaboration. We are hopeful that the next CPD on Prevent will be with Sam Abbs, who is the Prevent Officer for Cambridge Local Authority.
Thanks, Ryan, and thank you for sharing your insights and valuable advice on the prevent duty in schools. Your expertise will undoubtedly help schools in their effort to create a safe and inclusive environment. We really appreciate your time.